Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
It's a Reaction Monday, powered by Superbook Sports. Here's Stokely and Zach on Denver Sports Station, 1043thefan.
Mickey Cecil filling in for Stokely and Zach today. It's the second hour. I don't have to let that song warm up. Anyway, did Teddy Bridgewater totally redeem himself in the eyes of the Broncos fan base for him toughing it out? And, of course, for the business decision that he made against the Philadelphia Eagles. Nick, this is where I think you and I will massively disagree. Well, I may be wrong because I don't know your answer.
It's not going to be the first time.
No, and it won't be the last time.
Exactly.
But did Teddy Bridgewater redeem himself? You want me to go or you want to go?
As always, I'm going to allow you to go first.
I need you to go first, though, kind of.
Why?
You'll know why when I give my answer.
No, you give your answer first.
You give your answer. Okay. Now we're arguing like an old married couple. No, he did not redeem himself.
Okay.
You know why?
No, I don't.
He didn't need to. You and I opened the phone lines on our show, 6 to 9 on the Fan, and we talked to, what, 15 people? And 14 of 15 after the Philadelphia game, when everyone's like, this is the most horrible thing that Teddy Bridgewater's ever done. He's the most, just start Drew Lock. When all we heard that on Twitter, which, by the way, is god-awful. If you think you're a big deal on Twitter, I want to remind you that I had a low member number on the X-Files chat room in the 90s. See how big of a deal I am? Twitter's the same damn thing. It's the realm of the lowest common denominator, and I can't even say that. So when our RamosLaw.com text line, which God bless you texters, but most of you are negative, when Twitter, which is the wretched hive of scum and villainy, even Mos Eisley's like, damn, then look at these guys. When Twitter is saying, Teddy Bridgewater is awful and start Drew Lock. And I got a message for Drew Lock stands. Oh, yeah. You Drew Lock stands, you better be listening because I got a message for you. I don't think you'll get it. I don't think you understand it. I don't think you can spell message, but I hope you listen to it coming up later for the Drew Lock stands out there. Because when you and I talk to the fans, actually talk to them, not listen to Twitter because it's not a big deal. Not listen to the text line, because it's mostly negative. When we talked to people, we had 95%. You got the master's degree. I went to community college for a year, so help me here. 14 of 15 callers were like, it's not Teddy's fault. It's not a big deal. Everyone else was saying, like, this is horrible, and this is awful, and I do think it will define him. I don't think that's fair, but I'm going to tell you the truth. And the truth of the matter is that damn Eagles play after the damn Gordon fumble, and Richie better have that damn dump button ready, because I'm from the country where cussing is like an art form. After that play, that's defining Teddy Bridgewater. It is. For some. Not for all, and not for the majority. So when we talk to people, and people tell us it's not a big deal, it's not Teddy's fault, what did our one caller say, like, oh, well, if your job sucked and you had no future, like, would you give full effort? Like, okay, real. That's their truth. And they told their truth. I would rather listen to that. So did Teddy Bridgewater redeem himself for the business decision that was the worst thing ever? No, he didn't. Why? Because he didn't have to.
Well, Cecil, you're absolutely right.
See, I wanted you to say that he did redeem himself, and then I would be like, no, he didn't.
Well, first of all, why would I say anything like that?
Because almost everyone, oh, it's just this big. I mean, even the week after the bye, right?
Yeah.
And I promised myself I'm not going to complain about the staff for 7 more weeks. After the bye, I said that on the war room when I said they might only win 2 more games. I said that on the war room after the bye, after the Eagles game during the bye. I said, I'm not going to complain about this staff for 7 weeks. And people after the Eagles game are still bringing up the Teddy play. Still bringing it up on our airwaves. Because those are the airwaves that matter about. I don't want to trigger anyone out there and have them subtweet me. Like, I don't listen to anyone else except for the Fan. Okay? That is a message for all involved. So even on our own airwaves, it was made out to be the biggest deal ever. But when you talk to fans, actual true Broncos fans, most of them say, yeah, it's not a big deal.
Well, see, so this is where I thought you, and on over this time of us working together, I don't remember how many weeks, but
86 weeks.
I thought you would have learned something about me and my personality. And that's I'm not going to do what everyone else is doing.
You're going to tell your truth.
Yeah, I'm not going to do be a part of groupthink. I mean, to me, that's old. That's tired.
I think that's damaging for the fan base.
Well, for me, it's honestly, like, I'm going to talk about the optics, what is actually present. So, no, I didn't think that Teddy redeemed himself, because just like you, and I agree with that, there was nothing for him to redeem. I mean, because I go back to that really quickly. If Teddy jumps out there, gets himself hurt by Anthony Harris, the safety from the Philadelphia Eagles, who's getting ready to kind of de-cleat him, or the pile falls on him, he's not even available to play in the game against the Chargers. So this whole, hey, man, the Broncos playing in a very meaningful game on Sunday, guess what? That conversation is not there because Teddy's not playing.
You can thank one Teddy Bridgewater.
Right, so the idea was like, well, he made a business decision. You got darn right he did, to make sure that he's ready and available for the push that the Broncos could be on at this particular moment, because what have we seen and what has Vic Fangio told us? The Broncos have said to themselves, we would take Teddy Bridgewater at 60, 50, maybe even 45 over Drew Lock, who's 100%.
Yeah, don't give an over-under on that, or Stokely's going to stop. Stokely's going to stop on the golf course and be like, wait, there's an over-under on that?
Let me pull out my phone.
It might have been on the under.
Right.
You said 45, and I was like, it might have been lower.
And what did Vic say? He's hoping that not to be in that situation again.
Yes.
Right?
He said, I hope we won't be there. I hope there won't be another time. That means he never wants to see Drew Lock play.
That's right.
So for all the stands, and oh boy, do I got something to tell those guys. This team doesn't trust Drew Lock. They're going to say something else. They don't like him. They don't trust him. Period.
Well, you know what lesson I've always learned?
What's that?
Actions speak louder than words.
And what are their actions?
We really don't want him in unless we have to.
I hope there won't be another time. Well, what a ringing endorsement of your quarterback.
And that's your head coach saying that.
Yes.
Because here's why. And I don't blame Vic for saying that, but he wants to win football games.
That he might have revealed a little too much, though.
Well,
on that one.
But he revealed what we already knew, but someone were unwilling to accept. Like, I did a halftime show with Rachel and James Maryland.
Uh-oh.
And it was the
James loves him some lock now.
It was the funniest thing ever, because the first thing that James said to me was, Teddy didn't really do anything. He was like, well, this is when the team was up 14-0, but Teddy didn't really do anything. And I had to remind him, well, James, the Broncos did get on the ball, on the board, because Teddy scored the touchdown. Whatever. And I said, okay, so.
But this was halftime. We'd already seen Lock play.
Right. So, but doesn't matter.
It
doesn't matter, because James later on hit me with a tweet after. Here's what I sent to him. I said, hey, Rachel, remind me again about what one James Maryland said about Bridgewater. Maybe this will make fans think differently about Teddy's level of toughness. So James responded with, oh, Teflon Teddy, go three and out. He's on one leg, throw a touchdown. He's the toughest quarterback ever. Can't lose. Nice situation for Teddy. And I'm thinking, okay, James, think about that. The guy is out there on one leg again, for some reason, Calvin Anderson, Albert Okwuegbunam somehow didn't see Derwin James steaming off the edge.
Yes.
And Teddy hits his shin on Cam Fleming's left foot, right? So now, have you ever had a swollen shin before?
Oh, yeah.
Man, it flares up like your elbow. It looks like it's like a bursa set.
It's like a grapefruit.
That's right.
It can be.
But Teddy still played, being very limited.
Yes, and they only had three drives in the second half. The first one was that three and out, which James was referencing. And then the next two were a long scoring drive and then a drive to kill the game. So again, we saw your guy. Drew Lock stands. We saw your guy. It's not good. It's not good. And if you want to say the Broncos ruined him, that's your truth, and I may half agree with that. If you want to say he needs to go to a West Coast offense, like a Shanahan system, because that's his system, I may agree with that. In fact, I've promoted that myself on Twitter. hey, Drew Lock needs to get out of here because he doesn't fit what they want to do. They don't like him. They don't trust him. They're going to say something different. I'm probably going to get a phone call because you shouldn't say they don't like him. No, no, no. They don't like him and they don't trust him. They will say the complete opposite. We totally like, and even Vic Fangio today said he's the number two quarterback. Why? Why? Brett Rypien's game is more closely associated with that of Teddy Bridgewater's. You can do kind of the same stuff. When Drew Lock comes in, you can't run Teddy's offense. You have to do a Drew offense, and it has to be limited. And you can't ask him to do too much. We already saw it, and I don't know why people can't get that through their head. Like, it's not working. It's not working.
It's hard to view things in that perspective if your heart was set on something. Just think about this.
Does a bad player get this type of pass?
Because you have Drew was drafted. Teddy was perceived as a journeyman. He was never, in the eyes of certain people, he was never their guy to begin with. So we might as well stick with the guy. Like James even said that to me during the halftime show. He was like, hey, you know, stick with Drew, see what the kid got. He has. And I say, well, James, we already know what that is. Things are not going to change.
Bumpkiss.
You can hope that they are.
Right.
And I told him, I say, look, Drew had his opportunity. And we talked about it before. I said, at some point during the season, Teddy's going to get hurt and Drew's going to have his opportunity. But it's what he does when that opportunity arises.
That's for all of us.
Yes. When you look at the possessions that he's had, right? The first couple, he threw two passes. Other than that, everything else was a run play. His next possession.
They had the fumble.
Right, right.
They fumbled forward.
Two run plays and a pass play, three and out. Right? And then James said, well, hey, you know, Drew led a scoring drive. I was like, Javonte Williams ran the ball in, right? Do I have to remind you? But I understand it. But when you have your mind fixated on something, it's hard to change it. You and I grew up in very meager accommodations as kids. That's the best way I put it.
Yes, you're always optimistic. No, we're poor. Okay. We're dirt poor. Okay?
So dirt poor. We grew up poor. So you had your mind set on Kellogg's Frosted Flakes. Right?
Oh, that was like the dream. That's when we had a little money. We'd get Frosted Flakes.
That's right. But you had to settle for the regular Kellogg's cereal, no frosted, no flakes.
No, not even Kellogg's or whatever the store brand was. Right.
Or you get that big bag of cereal that's like a mile long.
I know.
It's no brand name.
We got cereal for days. Yeah, but it's not any good.
That's right. So you had your mind set on.
I wanted Tony the Tiger.
That's right. But you got Ronnie the Tiger, his cousin. Right. You got Ronnie the Tiger.
I was going to say Liger, but yeah, whatever.
Yes.
Yeah, we got him. It ain't Tony.
Right. So that
ain't Tony.
So I understand it. You know, Broncos fans you were hoping that Drew Lock would be this guy. I get it. But right now it's proving that he's not.
But what did he ever do to deserve this? Here's some of the things.
He was drafted by the team.
Hey, so was Paxton Lynch and people hated him. They hated him. I said, let the first rounder play when 2017, the next year came around. And he couldn't beat out Trevor Siemian for the second year. I was like, okay, done. Done. Wrap it up. It's not there for him. It's not there. Look ahead. Look on. Move on. Josh Allen. I was at his pro day. Me and D-Mac almost had lunch with Josh Allen after his pro day. But this is what I tweeted, and I'll read you some of the responses from Drew Lock stands. I said, have you all seen enough yet? This is a halftime. I know. Lock missed out on 1 million reps and all the other excuses in the book that reads like infinite jest. And if you've read Infinite Jest, then I appreciate you. David Foster Wallace, I really love him. He said, it's not like Teddy Bridgewater is anything special, but Drew Lock is clearly not the answer either. Hashtag Broncos, hashtag Nine Sports. Oh, wait, that's Mike Kliss. And at 104.3 The Fan. So I had some people very honestly say, hey, I rooted for him, but it's just not for him. I had some people say, we need to be in a market for a franchise quarterback. And then I had people that continue to make the excuses. Even Vic Fangio in the press conference was like, well, you know, I mean, backups don't get a bunch of reps, but he needs to do a better job with that. So I get everything from people that say, all he needs is a chance. These guys ruined him. And you got to run the ball. Give him a chance. And then when, like, Justin Herbert had a bad throw, the Drew Lock stands were, well, I guess Justin Herbert sucks too then, huh? No, moron. Justin Herbert doesn't suck. Justin Herbert's a really good quarterback. He's going to make some bad throws. He's going to make some bad plays. We have not seen this evidence of this being some sort of uncovered gem with Drew Locke that these people seem to think that he deserves.
Well, the reason, once again, Cecil, that narrative is floated out there is because he was a drafted guy. And the idea is that he never really...
He was a second-round pick.
He never really had that opportunity. So here it is, you want to treat a second-round pick like he's a first-round pick. These are all the luxuries first-round picks actually receive.
Well, he ain't a first-rounder.
Right.
He wasn't a number 10 pick like Elway. Even told him he was going to be at the Senior Bowl. I'm going to read this from Seth real quick.
Okay.
And he's a good tweeter. I'm not pointing it out, but he's a lock stand for sure. He says, we hate watching two-yard Teddy. We like watching Locke. It's simple. The Broncos have the same record with either QB. One is fun to watch. The other is watching like watching paint dry. What do you say to someone that thinks that? What do you say to someone that's like, well, we just like Locke? Well, do you like winning? Do you like playing relevant games in December? Because that's what you're doing right now. And not all the, and again, when I say this, when I say Locke is not a fit here, Locke doesn't know the playbook. Locke looks at one side of the field. Is it about time for people to start making videos and say, hey, I made a video that says Drew Locke is good. Watch my video. It doesn't matter. Make all the videos you want. Drew Locke's not good. Well, he doesn't fit here.
Cecil, so what I've realized over my years is that everyone's going to have their own opinion. Everyone is entitled by right to their own opinion.
That's their truth.
Well, whether you agree with
them.
But
they just hate watching Teddy?
Well, you cannot rationalize with some people. It's sometimes virtually impossible because, once again, you cling to your truth so much. Even if you are injecting wisdom into the situation, they still can't see it because it's occluded from them. I mean, you have on those orange and blue glasses. You don't want to see it. And for me, all I try to do is inject a little wisdom just to get you to just think. You don't have to agree with me, but just kind of think about, okay, well, is there another way that I can look at something? You can see something, but there's multiple ways that you can pull something out of what you're actually seeing to a point where you go, you know what? I don't agree with it, but I can see it very subtly. In this situation where Drew Locke, there are so many individuals that are so committed, invested as fans and thinking about that quarterback position and what hasn't happened around here and who has been pulling the trigger as far as drafting that they can't let that go. They won't let that go. I will agree with, hey man, is Teddy the future of this team? Absolutely not. Could you run it back with Teddy as your starter or backup if you go out and get someone else? Yeah, you can. But what we do know is that Drew, no matter how much I want it, no matter how much you want it, no matter how much individuals who you would deem Drew Locke apologists want it, the only way it happens is the players got to seize it. And this whole notion that, well, he didn't get a lot of practice time. Tell Quinn Bailey that. Tell a Nick Ferguson that. Because I was a backup at one point in my career. And then guess what? Sam Brandon went down. All of a sudden, Nick Ferguson had to go in the game. You think I could tell?
Did you have a bunch of practice?
No.
Did you condense practice? Could you plug into the Matrix like Neo and then all of a sudden learn Kung Fu?
No. But here's the thing.
Did you get any of that?
No.
Wait a second. But you played and started and played well.
That's right. And when I took over for Sam, I never gave the position back. Right? So this whole notion, well, he didn't get a lot of reps. Well, let me debunk that right now. See, Drew Locke and Quinn Bailey, they would practice against the starters. Right? So, whereas that you may not always be operating your offense, you're still operating an offense on scout team going against elite talent. So you're going to take some L's and hopefully you get better taking those L's. So this whole notion that, well, Drew didn't have a lot of practice. Yo, you practiced, all right. You were in those meetings. You knew the game plan. You knew how to mentally go through them yourself, right? And I would have to say, even though Teddy may receive the bulk of the reps, Drew and Brett received some reps, but you're practicing in the NFL against NFL talent, just like you practice at Mizzou against SEC talent. So this whole notion that, well, he wasn't ready. No, he wasn't ready. Man, that's a bunch of kung fu-y. That's a bunch of Hong Kong fu-y because your job as a professional, not an amateur, a professional.
You get paid.
You get paid to do this. You're not on scholarship, Sisu. You get paid to do this. So you telling me that you can't sit in that room, ask questions, and even if you have to stand on the sideline and take mental reps, can you not go out and practice after your own? Get the script and go through the reps on your own. Come on, man. So are you a PRO, right? Like I used to tell Shane Ray when I did the coaching internship with the Broncos, are you a PRO because those are first letters of professional, or you just here to get by just to say that you're in the league?
No. No. She wasn't ready. She wasn't ready.
Well, yeah, you quoted our good friend Kevin Hart. Well, he's probably your friend. I don't know. Anyway, I will quote Martin Lawrence and say, you already had your time. Right?
Someone else got your time.
Someone else got your time. Right?
See you when you see him.
Gotta go.
Yes.
I gotta go hang with Craig and them. And that's what Drew Lock looked like. People say, oh, he looks rusty. He looked disinterested. Sorry, I'm totally wrong about that, right? I'm totally wrong about that. This guy tweeted me yesterday, has Teddy ever made a bad throw? The difference is that Teddy can make the very same throw and you get all hot and bothered by it. Locke makes a shut your mouth throw after being out for 11 weeks and you throw a hissy fit. I don't think my tweet saying that he's not the guy is throwing a hissy fit. I think it's a statement of fact. I think y'all need a reality check and that he's not the guy.
Take that for data.
He's not the guy.
And here's the one thing that pissed me off and just so frustrates me. It's not that I'm frustrated with Drew Lock. I'm frustrated with the idea, being as a player, I've been in that position. You're going to get one opportunity, two if you're lucky.
Didn't he get two opportunities this year?
Two opportunities.
He's had two opportunities to play in replacement of Teddy Bridgewater. And if he came out and he kicked ass, you know what we'd have right now?
A quarterback controversy.
Cue the Prince.
Right.
Controversy.
Yes.
But, we have that.
But we don't. But here's what happens.
And why don't we?
Because Drew is not showing massive improvement. You have to be able to seize the day and take advantage of those opportunities, Cecil, because here's what's happening. If the team, by chance, hook or crook, whatever it is, they put you in a game and you don't perform well, and then you get that second opportunity, that third opportunity, they start losing trust in you. And then if they start losing trust in you, guess what? There's 31 other teams that get the same tape. What are they seeing? They're seeing the same thing.
They're seeing a guy that's rusty or unprepared or having a lack of focus.
You have to be prepared in those situations.
That was
Cecil.
Awful tape. That was awful tape to put out.
And see, I hate it for the kid because I really want him to develop and be something.
I
want to
see
really
him with a
chance
in a Shanahan offense. I do. It's not going to work out here. Just move on. Should have traded him, whatever you want to say. I actually want to see him in Green Bay. It's probably better than Jordan Love.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, and if you trade for Aaron Rodgers, unlike Mark Schlereth, who told us that Aaron Rodgers would be here. We're feeling it on Soakley and Zach, so I got to continue their tradition. Day 85 of the Mark Schlereth smear campaign. Yes, indeed. But if you trade for Aaron Rodgers, send him Drew Lock.
Yeah, throw him in there.
If I'm the Packers, I kind of want that.
Yeah.
It's a LaFleur system. It's a Shanahan system. He's better than Jordan Love. He could probably start for you.
He's got a lot of arm talent.
Might be a little rough, right? Might be a little rough.
But he's better than Jordan Love.
But I'd rather see him. They should have never fired Scangarello. There's so many things they did wrong with Lock, but it is irredeemable now. And it's not him. It's not all him. Part of it is him, though.
But you know what? We saw George Payton do Von Miller solid, sending him to the Rams. They've lost three in a row. But who's talking about that?
It's a dream team.
Right. But he could do the same thing for Locke, setting Locke up in a great situation if Aaron Rodgers is the target. Send some draft capital there along with Drew Locke because they're looking for their quarterback. They know that Jordan Love isn't the guy. And for me, I would love to see Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon, you know, behind Drew Lock, taking the pressure off of him. That would be a great landing spot. So regardless of what individuals think that I'm constantly throwing shade at
you
Drew.
You just love Teddy and you hate Drew. Somebody told me that yesterday. I hate Drew. I had a first-round grade on Drew. If there's anyone that should be embarrassed of Drew Lock's performance, it's me. Because I thought the guy could play. And I still think maybe in a Shanahan system, you might.
I truly believe that as well. And for me, I'm always for the player. I'm always for the player. So regardless of the things that I point out that I'm watching on film that have not improved, and there's not a person that can tell me they have, if you can, my Twitter handle is _Nick Ferguson_25.
Yeah, I'm @Nick_Ferguson_25.
There you go. Thank
I'm
you
the one that got it right. Yeah. It's not even my Twitter handle.
I'm just so fired up right
now. I
want
to know who is the Nick Ferguson out there that stole your Nick Ferguson away.
Well, Sisu, do you know the story about? Have I told you the story about this?
That's a more common name. That's a more common name than Cecil Lammy. Yeah. But
there's more Nick Fergusons that look unlike me than I thought before.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, we'll get into that. But I do have a question for everyone out there. And it has to do with someone that I love. You hate Drew Lock. No, I don't. I love Javonte Williams. So can you really have too much of a good thing? We'll discuss it next.
It's a Reaction Monday, powered by Superbook Sports. Here's Stokely and Zach on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Stop me if you've heard this before. Nick Ferguson, Nick and Cecil sitting in for Stokely and Zach today. Javonte Williams was my number one running back in this class. Have you heard that before?
To be exact, it's not quite like the Mark Slareth smear campaign or the Paxton Lynch.
Right.
We're not that deep into it, but I would like to say to date, what's today's date?
It is the 29th of November.
So the 29th of November, yes. I've heard it a total of maybe 62 times.
Not that you're counting.
No, not that I'm counting.
Not that you're counting.
Give or take 62.
Okay, 67, 51, 57. That's what you should have said. It's always 57. Every answer for everything should be 57.
That's 59 points. That's 9 more than 50.
So, Javonte Williams needs the ball more. Javonte Williams, 14 carries, 54 yards, 1 rushing touchdown. That's only 3.9 a carry. But 3 catches for 57 yards, including the big 42-yarder. It's every week, Nick. Every week we see a play from Javonte that makes you go, wow. There's things that make you go, it's a little CMC music factory, but there's also things that make you go, wow. Make you go, Owen Wilson,
yes.
Wow. That's what you do.
You know what? Wow. Really quickly.
I have a good impression of
that. Wait. You have about 10 impressions.
Yes. Most terrible.
Well, yes. That's the best one I've heard ever from you. So kudos for that one.
My Nick Ferguson is not a good one.
No. Yeah,
say so.
That one is awful.
That's a bad one?
That's terrible.
Terrible?
Yes.
You say it's Cartman. It's not Cartman.
It is Cartman.
What about my I'm D-Mac. That one's not a good one? What about my Tyler Palumbus?
I don't even understand what you're saying.
That's a dog barking. I just get nervous. I'm like, Tyler's around. He's yelling.
No, but that's not even a Tyler impression because it's just a dog barking. That could be any dog. That could be a beagle. You know, that could be one of those little pocket pooches. So I don't know what that is. So that's why it doesn't count.
Oh, okay.
But your Owen Wilson was spot on.
Wow.
Congratulations.
Okay, see? I knew I could do something. I know Javonte Williams can play. Why doesn't he get more time? Why doesn't he start? Coming out of the bye, I was so upset to see Melvin Gordon. And Melvin Gordon's playing good football. Everybody tweeted at me when I was like, I love Javonte Williams. And I even think our friend Mad Fanatic, who is a Broncos rapper, official Broncos rapper, unofficial Broncos rapper. But anyway, he was like, you do realize Melvin Gordon. I've charted plays for the Broncos. Or I've charted plays of Broncos games for about 20 years. So, yes, I realize Melvin Gordon was averaging a yard more per carry than Javonte Williams. I'm just saying, Nick, I'm just saying, why can't we see more wow plays?
Well, I've said this to you before, Cecil. It's not about, you know, carries. It's about targets. And what you are talking about is the utilization of Javonte Williams in the passing game. Now, let's go back to last year when Philip Lindsay was here with Melvin Gordon.
They wouldn't throw to him.
Right. And there wasn't a great utilization or a play call of the running backs in the passing game. This is where Pat Shurmur, in the 2 weeks off, has somewhat changed. This is what's a little different. You brought it up earlier, but we didn't get into it from the offensive side. But now he's throwing to the backs out of the backfield. But more importantly, it's Javonte Williams. When I thought, based on you know, the offseason and what was going on with the Broncos that Melvin Gordon was going to be that guy. Now it's like the roles kind of flip-flop, but I kind of like what they're doing.
Flip-flopper.
Yes, I like this. You start off the game with Melvin Gordon, right? Now you pound them in between the two tackles. Then you bring in Javonte Williams, and now you're pounding him between the tackles, and you're throwing the ball to him on the edge, because what I saw that was unique about Pat Shurmur's play calling, I saw more movement in the scheme pre-snap than we've ever seen thus far.
Jerry Jeudy is the highest paid motion player in the league.
Yes, running wind sprints, right? He didn't say it, I said it. But he's running wind sprints.
Hey, but you're winning.
That's right. So you're trying to move the eyes and the position of the defenders. And also with the running back coming out of the flat on those swing routes, you can now kind of, because football, believe it or not, it's mathematical equation.
It's a game of angles.
It's a game of angles.
Not so, a game of inches,
so
a game of angles.
So if I get my back out on a swing route and I dump it to him, but I have my tight end and my wide receiver right there, they have perfect angles where they can go and block the second level and third level defenders. And knowing that Javonte Williams can run through arm tackles, I'm going to put my guy, my best guy, on your guy, but I know that my guy is going to win.
All sorts of business decisions are made when you go up against Javonte.
Absolutely. Do I really want to make this tackle?
Bam!
Hey, mama, what's for lunch, right? that's
you
how you know.
The stars.
Yes, you can cuss. Do you know where you are, Nick? No, what's for lunch? What are we having?
What was that truck? You get the license plate of that truck? Number 33.
Exactly.
Denver Broncos.
So that's why.
Come on, give me that. I'm doing the.
Yes.
The horn. You ever do that to truckers when you were a kid?
Yes, of course.
On the highway? You
have
the horn
to.
Thing?
It's like traditional, yes.
Right.
Of course. So I like what I'm seeing from the Broncos right now, and I don't have any reservations to say, well, oh, Sherman's screwing this up again. No, because both backs are being utilized, but you're taking advantage of their skill set, Cecil.
And their skill set is pretty damn good.
Yep.
There's some pushback that I received yesterday. One was about Gordon. Yes, Gordon's playing good football. Not the fumbles, but he's playing good football. This isn't about Melvin Gordon. When I praise Javonte Williams and I say more Javonte, it's not about Melvin Gordon stinks. He doesn't stink. He's playing good football, except for the fumble, which was awful. I also got the, you're going to wear him down. You're going to wear Javonte down. To that I say, phooey. And here's why. Walter Payton played 13 years in the league, missed one game due to a coach's decision when he was a rookie. Never missed a game. Emmitt Smith, Barry Sanders, Thurman Thomas, Ricky Waters, Amon Green. Shall I go on? I don't think there's a death of the workhorse back. People were worried about that because Derrick Henry got banged up. Well, you know what Derrick Henry did before that? Had a 2,000-yard rushing season. And before that, a 1,700-yard rushing season. And before that, a 1,000-yard rushing season. And then for whatever reason, the first year they used him for like 600 yards or whatever. But anyway, like, people are worried. Like, we hear long-term a lot, right? Oh, long-term. You're worried about him long-term. Running back's average career is 3 years. I'm not worried about long term, but I believe that a bell cow back can still exist in today's game. Nick, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's bigger, stronger, faster. All those guys I mentioned were mostly 90s backs because I am stuck in the 90s. Wait till we talk about the Nuggets later on. Oh, my God, stuck in the 90s. We're going to talk about the Heat. But do you believe, as some did, as I got some response on Twitter, oh, well, you don't want to use Javonte up. You don't want to wear him down. Wear him down. Man, Javonte's like Debo. Beat him down, beat you down. And unless you got a brick in your hand, you ain't going to stop the guy.
I'm all about a two-back backfield.
Get up, Craig.
Right. And the days are gone, right, of just having one bell cow back. Like, you mentioned Emmitt Smith. He was the bell cow back.
You don't think Jonathan Taylor can be a bell cow?
Well, no, but at some point, Nyheim Hines has to go in and spell him and give him a rest because, once again, the idea of wearing him down, you don't want to have that. Like, you go back to Bum Phillips, right? Let me take you all the way back.
Son of Bum.
Right?
No, you're talking about Bum. I'm talking about OG Bum.
Yes, I'm talking about Bum. I watched some of those Steve Sable NFL films highlights, right? Of Earl Campbell. I mean, those were the days where you just had that one back that you gave 34 carries.
Right.
You don't have to do that in today's NFL. It's a two-back system, right? And teams that have a two-back system, you're successful because if your lead back goes down, you want to be able to turn around and set next guy up. A lot of teams can't do that. But those teams that can master that, now you set yourself up.
Well, then treat Melvin Gordon like Nyheim Hines. And treat Javonte Williams like Jonathan Taylor.
Okay, if you want to do that, I'm not saying
don't use Melvin Gordon. I'm just saying more Javonte, please.
Well, you may want to call over to UC Health training facility.
I don't think they'll take my call.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought, John, call John. Oh, that's right. He doesn't take your calls
either. I'm still waiting for him to call me back.
Good for you, bud.
It's all good. If I ever go to Elway and I see Elway there and I get to have my steak and my beer with John Elway,
it uncomfortable.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
That's what you do.
I've hung around with John before at the Senior Bowl.
What did you do to Marshall Faulk?
I made it uncomfortable.
Exactly.
My fault.
Wouldn't do that with John. Wouldn't do that. But I'll tell you this. We'd have a good time. Have a good time. The Denver Broncos paid their wide receivers and then didn't use them? Why? Says Sir Smoke-A-Lot. We have the answer next.
It's a Reaction Monday, powered by Superbook Sports. Here's Stokely and Zach on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
The Broncos wide receivers got paid. Tim Patrick, Cortland Sutton. Love them both, appreciate both of their games, and you thought maybe, just maybe, Nick Ferguson, that they would get used a little bit more than they did. Now, the great thing about both Sutton and Tim Patrick is they are selfless, and if their game has to come down to, hey, I'm going to block all game, that's fine, that's what they do. If their game comes down to, hey, I'm only going to get a couple of targets, they'll be on third downs or first downs or whatever, like, that's fine. Both of them are so selfless. But, like this show, you ask me to be a little bit more humble and less arrogant. I ask you to be a little bit more selfish because you are selfless, like Cortland Sutton and Tim Patrick. I'm selfish. So I think Cortland Sutton and Tim Patrick, they don't maybe need to say on Twitter because, you know, get off Twitter. It's the realm of the lowest common denominator. But either way, like, they don't need to go to social networking with their grievances, but if they said, hey, could I get more than three targets, please? I think that would be good, and I think they would respond. Maybe this wasn't the game, right? Chargers defense number 4 in the league, rush defense 32 in the league. You were going to run the ball in this game. We said it in the pregame show. Don't expect these guys to get the ball, but can they kind of get it a little bit more?
It all depends on the game plan. What the game plan was. See, you just basically laid out the argument itself. You're facing a team that's at the bottom as far as being able to stop the run and the Chargers.
Yeah, they stink.
So you don't go out and you just throw the ball the entire time. The idea was pick and choose your shots. Now, even though those receivers did not receive a lot of targets individually, everyone was somewhat involved, just kind of spreading the love around. I mean, when you think about the first couple of passes, no offense, was leading in the first half as far as the number of targets and receptions. So the idea and the game plan was we are going to start hitting the defense with quick throws, try to get them to react so maybe we can throw something down the field maybe in the third and fourth quarter. If it's not there, we'll still take the short intermediate routes. So it's all predicated on game plan. And in my time with the Denver Broncos, every wide receiver was required to block. When we look at the run game and how important the run game really is, it all falls on the shoulders of the tight ends and the guys blocking on the perimeter.
No offense, like what?
Right. Like for me, you say give us more Javonte Williams. Okay, I say give us a little more Melvin Gordon as well. But when you say that, I want more Eric Salbert at the same time. No shade on Noah Fant, but when Salbert is in the game, he does a much better job blocking at the point of attack.
People need to stop treating Noah Fant with kid gloves because he's a grown man and he's got big shoulders and he's heard it. He knows. It's a production-based business, Nick. Did anyone feel sorry for you when you played in the league for a decade?
No one cares.
You're a really nice guy.
No one care.
Hey, Noah Fant's a really nice guy. He is. He's a cool dude. He can't block. He can't. Eric Salbert can. Albert Okwuegbunam can, and so can Cortland Sutton and Tim Patrick.
Right. So let me take you back for just a second. Think about all the 1,000-yard runners that took place under Mike Shanahan, right?
That's a large list.
A large list of guys. And we always highlight the offensive linemen. We always highlight the running backs and their skill set to be able to hit the hole and find daylight.
Right.
But we never talk about the guys on the perimeter, the wide receiver setting the tone by going down, making a positional block, just keeping the guy out of the way. Or also maybe on a pass play, threatening the defense down the field so now you get less men inside the box. Those wide receivers know they were not involved.
Yeah, Rod Smith knew he wasn't going to get the ball, but he's still going to work his ass off.
Listen, man, I play with, you know, Javon Walker, Brandon Marshall, Ed McCaffrey, Ashley Lalee, and Rod Smith. Those guys were wide receivers, and I know we look at wide receivers as prima donnas, but they knew in order for us to be successful, they had to be able to block on the perimeter. Now, it wasn't going to be every game where they were going to get the ball. No, they just had to block. And that was success for the team because at the end of the day, is it about you or is it about the team? And if you get the W, who cares, right? I know guys have incentives in their contract if you have more yards, receptions. I get that. But you still get paid if you win football games because teams are looking at wide receivers blocking outside the perimeter. Look at the San Francisco 49ers. After having a dismal opening to the season, they've won 3 games in a row. Doing what?
Running the freaking ball.
And that means that guys, yes, guys outside the numbers, they had to block.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So
maybe that's why Brandon Ayuk is playing more, and maybe that's why he wasn't playing earlier. I know you can't say stuff, but
I'm not saying anything.
I'll say stuff, and it didn't get it from Orlando. Like, yeah, Brandon Ayuk, work harder in practice. Show that you're going to block more, and you're going to get to play more. And then he does, and he plays, and it's good.
And that's how you get the ball.
Like, and look at Debo. Debo's a hell of a blocker. Hurt now, a little groin injury, but still, like, hell of a blocker.
When I played here, I'm going to mention a story. Ashley Lee, we had a game, and we were playing against the Chargers. Ashley didn't have his best game as a blocker. Not a receiver, but a blocker. You know what we did that next day, the next couple of days in practice?
Mm.
All he did was block us, the safeties. And he knew he was going to block us. He had to block me, Chris Young, Kanoy Kennedy, right, and Sam Brandon. So he knew that it was going to be a run play on all 12 of these plays. But you had to come downhill and dig us out. We knew what the play was. So what do you think happened to Ashley?
He got hit.
That's right. A lot. And the lesson was, dude, you have to be willing to make this sacrifice. If you don't, we're not going to be successful in the run game. If we're not successful in the run game, you're not going to be successful in the pass game. And if you will not block in a Mike Shanahan's offense as a wide receiver, you can forget about getting the ball. You can forget about it. Why? Because you're being selfish. But if you sacrifice like Rod did, like Javon Walker did, like Ed McCaffrey did, guess what? They're going to give you a ball.
Well, against Kansas City, they better give these guys the ball. Because you think you can run all day, and I wish they would think that way, but no. Your defense, and we still got to talk about Brandon Browning. Love the guy. Kenny Young, really playing good football. We got a lot to talk about still with this Broncos reaction. But if you're going to go up against Kansas City, you're not going to win scoring 17 points. You better drop 30.
Well,
you better drop 35.
I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say that. I mean, think about when the Giants played the Kansas City Chiefs, Green Bay Packers without Aaron Rodgers. Those games are pretty close. Now, you can win those tight games by running the ball well, keeping Mahomes on the sideline. Now, can you really do that for 60 minutes? We can debate that, but that's kind of the recipe.
You said it depends on the game plan, and I'm thinking of next week, and I'm like, well, the game plan better include lots of passes.
Well,
lots of Timmy Pats, lots of Cortland Sutton.
Off of play action. That means your run game is successful.
Yeah, balance, Daniel.
That's right. We got to get that honey badger. We got to dangle that honey right in front of him. Come get this run. Come on, get it. And then throw the ball over his head because Sorensen is not a great safety. He doesn't tackle well, and he doesn't cover well. That's where you take advantage.
He's dirty, though.
But that's okay. That's okay. But that's where you take advantage of
He's a dirty player, though.
Attract, dangle the honey, attract the honey bear, and then take advantage of Sorensen. So that should be isolation on Sorensen.
That's what you isolate. Make me hungry. I just say honey.
How did honey make you hungry?
Because you're talking about attracting the Bears. I'm like, you won't even come over to my house because of the Bears. Anyway, Nick and Cecil here filling in for Stokely and Zach. And Pat Surtain. Hey, Justin Fields couldn't have done that yesterday. We'll talk about the rookie corner next.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 104.3thefan.com.